Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Today, we are back with Shannon Forsyth, and we had to do two episodes because there's just too much to tell. And I'm pretty excited about hearing the stories that were alluded to as we were signing off last week.
So Shannon's story is pretty wild. She grew up with a lot of tragedy in her youth. Things that other people would say, I'm disqualified. And even Shannon at one point felt disqualified. Like, why would God want me? And if he did want me, how could he ever use me? And au contraire is what she heard the Holy Spirit say. Like, yes. You are exactly what I'm looking for. And yet so many times we tend to think that those things in our background that we think are the disqualifiers are actually the qualifiers by God.
It's true.
The very things that we think, oh, I could never. And the Lord said, oh, yes, you can, because you can hear, you can understand. And, you know, maybe you know this, that my mother also had a very tragic background. And it was that tragic background that really was the impetus for her to pray for the hippies and to love the hippies and to search out and be obsessed with hippies and especially to pray for the hippies. And so, I empathize. And so when I hear these tragedies, I'm like, oh my goodness, what do you have for these people? And so I'm very excited, Shannon, to get into part two. So you've married Bartley. You've worked up in Hollywood together. You had a production company and all that. So now you have a ministry called Run to Rescue. But I want to know about the birth.
So at the beginning, now remember, I don't think that I'm qualified to do anything. The Lord calls us to do work with victims of sex trafficking. And I'm like, okay, that is interesting because I don't know any victims. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to get involved in that. And the Lord, when he came, we were at church and it was during worship. It was at a conference and the Holy Spirit just fell. And I can feel myself kind of sinking in the mud, and the Lord was like, I want you to go rescue those people. Mm. And I'm like, no. I said no. In my mind, I'm like, no, that's my first response.
Not so, Lord.
Yeah. Here I am, use me.
Yeah.
My arms didn't go up praying that. But immediately the Lord started working. And then called my husband really quickly after that. And I was trying to give the ministry or the idea of it away. The Lord gave us Run to Rescue because he runs to rescue people, right? And and so I tried to give that away to a person who I thought was more qualified and had a heart for this, a passion for it. And I'm like, hey, and she's like, oh yeah, that's not from the Lord, but we can call it something else. And I was literally trying to give it away. And mm-hmm. the Lord was just convicting and said, take it back. Mm. You know, take it back. I'm calling you. And right after I did that, not even like a month later, we rescued our first girl up in Sacramento. We were very instrumental in that. And then after that, it got put in the newspaper. And after that, parents started calling. And it just snowballed from there that God was wanting to make sure he knew that he was calling us despite what I thought. And then as it goes on, we struggled for that first year. I mean, we are dealing with dark. We didn't understand warfare. We thought we did, but we did not understand warfare until we start trying to pull out kids out of darkness and that are in bondage that are mm-hmm. so great that we've never seen it in our everyday lives ever. So in that, the Lord was just, it was just trial after trial after trial. We even lost our home. We had girls in our house and we lost our home because we lost all of our income. We got $400 a month at the most. That was the donations we were getting, you know, and so it was difficult. And there was a moment where I was like, Lord, we're here rescuing these girls off the street and we're bringing them into our home. That was also said, don't ever do that. But that's what the Lord wanted. And so we're bringing them in our home and there was a moment where it was in between girls being in our house and I couldn't feed our own kids. We had one Top Ramen and I split it between them. And I'm like, Lord, why are you not answering my prayer? And he was silent, silent, silent. I'm like, dude, this is like really disturbing.
Big dude.
Yeah. Like there is something wrong with me. Something's wrong with me. You're not, what sin do I have in my life? I've repented of everything I could think of and silent, silent, silent. And then I was like, God, you know, answer me. I am rescuing these kids. Why won't you answer me? I just asked that just in desperation. And then he spoke. And he says, because I want you to know what it's like to call on me.
Oh, wow.
And nobody come.
Mm.
Because everyone I'm sending you to has called out to me. And because the church won't go, nobody's coming.
Mm.
And he says,
oh,
so,
Shannon.
I know.
And so wow. You tell them that I am an answer to your prayer. And for the last 12 years, I have said that. And as little D is my witness, you know, it is, these girls all remember it. 100% of them remember when they called out to the Lord. Just a couple weeks ago, I was standing with one of the girls out on the streets on Fig. And I said, I'm here because you prayed. What did you pray? Because I'm an answer to your prayer. God's answering your prayer. That's me. And today we're going to go see her and she's going home to her family.
Okay. But this is so prophetic. You're on Fig Street. And I think about how Jesus said to Nathan, I saw you when you were under the fig tree.
Oh, that's, right. That's so good. Yeah,
right. I saw you. And he comes back to this point that Nathaniel was praying. Yep. And I think he was crying out to God, if you're real, if there's a Messiah, show me. You know, it's this private moment that he's crying out to God. And Jesus said, I'm the answer to your prayer.
Yeah.
I saw you when you were under the fig tree.
Amen.
And so I just love that.
I'm using that just
FYI.
Oh,
I hope
so,
you do.
So beautiful.
Because it's the truth.
It is.
But, you know, I have to say this. I'm just going to interject a little bit. Because God has given you an eye to see what most of us miss. Because I worked with somebody for a couple years and just thought she was just the cutest, sweetest, most well-adjusted person, especially considering all she had been through. And when you came in and I interviewed you.
Good thing we have tissue,
yeah,
right?
You, yes. You recognized and you saw her pain and you keyed into that. And the next thing I knew, you invited me to this lunch where we you know, spoke with her. And, you know, here she is, just this precious, you know, bundle of the one that Jesus loves and feeling like, again, I can never come back. I can never measure up. I can't even tell Cheryl, you know, and, you know, I don't know why I must look like I'm holy or something, but it was just one of the most powerful prophetic times I have ever experienced. I just loved it. In fact, I always say, Lord, I want to have that prophetic gift flowing all the time like that, you know?
Yeah, she's very special. She's now on our board, and she is now our program director. And it is, I think, you know, now you're going to get me crying because it is powerful, that moment. And you are flowing in those prophetic gifts, and which is why we needed to come to you, because she loved you.
Yeah.
And she was afraid of what you would think of her and say of her. And what was cool about that moment, it was transforming in her life. Because the first thing you need to know, when I brought her, there was a whole, I can't go through the backstory of everything for her, but there was a lot of components that that was crazy.
Mm.
And if things came out, it was going to get crazier. And her trafficker was threatening to expose stuff. And so we brought her to Cheryl, but she loved Cheryl. Like, Cheryl was the person that she adored. She still adores. So when we had that lunch, the first thing, as it came out, you know, she shared she didn't even share anything. The first thing Cheryl said when we sat down, and this is what's prophetic, because nothing was said. Cheryl says this, do you need to know that everything is hidden and covered under the cross? That was the first thing.
Wow.
And that took me back.
Wow.
Because I share that story all the time, because that, I'm like, I want to be that. That's what I want to be.
Mm.
Where you come and before anything is even said, before you even know, do you need to know that it's covered under the cross? And Daniela just burst into tears and I just gave the name. Well, she's our program director. You can look her up anyway.
We have no secrets here.
So she just... It was transforming in her life, and it made it one of the cornerstones in her life, that who she is today, because she went to the person that she admired and respected and it was covered under the cross. That was the first response. And then the rest was so,
so
beautiful.
Powerful.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the love of God, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's what Jesus does.
Yes.
He covers everything under his blood. And you know, Shannon, I think this is the message that you're going out to all those girls with. This is the message. Now, I want to bring up something. We were at a retreat and this church comes up to me and says, it was a big leadership retreat. I think there were like 2,000 women. And these women come and they said, we don't know what to do. We've got a young girl in our church that has just run away. We think traffickers have taken her. And I said, wait, I've got a friend here. Where's Shannon? Mm. And I found Shannon, and Shannon was on it, like white on rice, as they say. So tell us a little bit about, do you remember that?
We've had so many. So that one is I know that she went overseas. I believe she was out, you know.
She was located.
Yeah.
And she was with traffickers.
Yep, she was.
And they were able to get them in touch so that the church was able to save her. And then, but, you know, let's talk about this because, you know, my son did a message a couple weeks ago, and he talked about that we're not just saved out of, you know, like Israel was not just saved out of Egypt. They were saved for, and they had to go through this training before they could go to the promised land. And, you know, you provide that kind of wilderness training for this. And the whole program is so brilliant because it's not just, well, now you're saved and, you know, be warmed and filled, but you understand that the needs, the dangers, the fears. So can you tell us a little bit about the program that you provide? Because I think that is part of the astounding.
Yeah, we started out with bringing them into our home, but we never turned anyone away, ever. So as we were growing, we just started creating programs. And we now have 5 programs. We have 3 different projects. But it all starts with the point of contact, you know, and what does that look like? And it is in that point of contact, what has that girl have gone through when we've met them? They are most likely homeless. If you take them off the streets, they don't have a home to go back to. Or they were in the group home and they're not going to go back to that. And so we had to start with that point of contact. And what we decided that we were going to do is, what would Jesus do from the moment we meet them to the end? And a lot of organizations have just a small component and then they clock off and they're done at 5 o'clock and they move on. And so we decided we were going to train people to be with them until they don't want us anymore. And so we have created this long-term component. And the other thing is that we, back in 2012 when we started, I didn't know what complex trauma was. I didn't know the complexities of it. And so I started doing a deep dive of all of that. And I realized that God in his scripture has all of the answers, but yet they are not being talked about and people don't see it. So, for example, like David, who had dad issues, right? Why? Because his dad didn't pull him out to come and he forgot about him. He kept him in the field when they were wanting to anoint a king, and he had all his sons, but David wasn't there. So let's look about his relationship with Saul and how that was this other man figure in his life that he wants to, he is minister to, right? And so then now he's running from the man, right?
And even his Saul's general, too, that he served under, now hunting him to kill him.
Yeah. And so then you wonder why he has these anger issues. You wonder why he goes in and he's wanting to go to Naaman's house and destroy everything, right? He gets triggered and he loses it, you know, is come undone. And he's a guy who is a man after God's own heart. So he knows how to pray. He knows how to seek the Lord. So in those things, what was happening is that he just never felt worthy enough because your father is what's going to do that. You're never, you know, but yet he has this relationship with God that God says, man, you're a man after my own heart. Why? Why does God say that? You look at him, he's a murderer, he's an adulterer. He's all the things that we would check off and say, no, you're not qualified for ministry. No, you're not qualified
Especially
for
kingship,
ministry.
Right?
Yep. And God says, no, this kid keeps coming back to me and I'm his father. Mm-hmm. I'm his father. I'm the one that fills that place. And so we have to go and look at what does a lonely kid do? Do you know the girl that we're seeing today? She ends up being trafficked by 2 friends that are 19 and 20. 19 and 20. Mm. And I asked her, why are you coming out with them? Because she just needed friends. Mm. And so she ended up with two girls who put her out on the street to sell her. I mean, those are things that we that if you look at why is someone doing that, what hurt happened that brought him there? And where does God want to meet behind that scene where no one is saying anything?
You know, and that speaks of the, it's not just grace is not a one-off. Grace is a continual flow.
Yeah.
And it's got to be with the bad reactions. It's got to be, you know, I remember dealing with one young woman who just went off on me this one time. And it was just so unexpected. It was so huge. I didn't know what to do. And a friend of mine happened to call me, and she has, she had worked for a really long time as a counselor. And I said, you know, this is what's happening right now. They just got screamed at. And she said to me, oh, Cheryl, she's been numbing herself with drugs. She doesn't know what emotion she feels. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know how to identify it. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't know how to deal with it. She has to learn all over again how to identify her own emotions, because they will have inappropriate reactions. Yeah. They're not fitting for the, you'll say, oh, do you really want to wear those jeans? And all of a sudden, it's like World War II has started and you've insulted them and there's no hope for you. And why did they come? And, you know, why are they even here? I mean, it, and you're dealing with that a lot.
Yeah, we just wrote a curriculum for our youth in our foster care system, because we work with, it's one of our programs that we go to the kids that are been exploited or sold or trafficked. And so we go into the foster care system and we provide services. We just wrote a curriculum on understanding your emotions.
Oh, so
because
good.
Because that is the basic of if they don't understand what they're feeling, or like I'll go to trainings and I can ask you ladies, how many emotions are there? And you'll give me maybe five, but there are.
Oh, lists. Many.
So helping them understand what they're feeling and what they're going through is really important.
And how to deal with it. Yeah. And so I remember when I went, because there was a graduation, you find out there was somebody who was there for prayer. Like, whatever your prayer request is, I'm here and I'm going to pray with you. Somebody who disciples spiritually, sits with you, gives you understanding with the Bible. There is a counselor who goes through those complex issues. All of this, there were like five people assigned to every person who actually cared, a motivational, because let's learn to make your bed every day so you'll feel better about yourself. I mean, just little things like that. Learn to clean up, because a lot of those things are lost, just the cleanup and the have some self-respect. You know, your body is the temple now of the Holy Spirit, you know, just those things. And those are some of the things that I was so impressed with in this program, that it's like, what do I want to say? Like a full spectrum program.
And you know what I really am keying off of when you were saying that the Lord called you to this? And you said no, and that you thought it must be for somebody else. And then as the Lord kept making it clear, then you really just didn't hear from him. Like, okay, here we are. We're available now. Bless us. Mm-hmm. And the blessing feels like it's not there. The favor of the Lord doesn't seem to be on this. And you waited. I love this. It's just so beautiful until he spoke. And then it was so pivotal to everything you did after that. And I believe there are so many women who, just as you said in the first episode of how, oh, if people knew really what my background was or what happened to me, I God could never use me. I would never be the kind of person they'd want to be around. But that's the very kind of person God wants to redeem.
Amen.
So that they understand. And then for the Lord to put you in that position to call you, and you had the freedom to be the sassy girl and say, not me. Like, you understand the girls you're going after.
Yeah.
And if they're sassy with you, you're like, I get it.
No,
do your worst. I did that to God. And he was like, yeah, really? Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
But then for you to be able to have that empathy that came from seeing how the Lord made it so clear, specifically for you, this is how I want you to go forward. I love seeing the patterns of how God prepares us. And so many times it's just us being available, period.
And the amazing thing is that when I started doing deep dives into trauma and into my complexities of trauma, my trauma bonds, all these things, I was diving into it. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, I do that. Oh, my poor husband. Oh, I do that. Oh, I do that. It literally, the thing that we all want to do is stop and think that the Lord's not using us. But yet, if we step out, God starts healing us in those areas.
Yes.
That we needed healing in because we're stepping out in that. And so I found so much healing from my complex trauma and my trauma bonds through just serving these girls. I'll be talking to a girl and I'm like hearing myself counsel myself.
Yes.
As I'm talking to her.
Yes. So good.
And it is, which is why now, like, I have this heart to raise up women to not, they can do the radical, but their fear holds them back and their past tells them, it convinces them why they shouldn't do it.
Now, Shannon, let's say somebody's listening and they say, what can I do to be involved or to support this? So can you give a shout out, like your website, how to get involved with this, how to donate, all of that?
Well, we do need donations, so hook us up. We're trying to pay off our house that we're currently in right now, because if we can pay the house off, then we can expand and get other properties so that we can keep growing. So our website is run2rescue.com, and we're getting ready to change our website, but currently that's our website right now. And then you can go on our Instagram, Facebook, and we do need volunteers. We're raising up caseworkers, and what caseworkers do is they go to where the youth is at, and we are, and you'll get training through us, and we'll train you to be informal counselors to work with these girls. So we need people that are willing to travel a little bit and go and meet these kiddos. So, and then we have our warehouse where you can volunteer there. We have a backpack drive coming up. And so you can come and help us with that. We have Bible highlighting. We also highlight all the Bibles that the girls get. So if they flip through them, they can find scripture easily.
Yeah, what a great idea.
And then, so we have those coming up. And so, but we have a lot of things that you can volunteer. Don't think that you may not, I can't do that. Call us, you'd be surprised. Second, we have a prayer list. If you want to be on our prayer list, email us and we will get you. We need prayer.
And it's a confidential prayer list too. So you might only get an initial, but you know that the Lord hears those prayers.
Okay. Yeah. And we'll have to vet you before we get you on that one.
And it's interesting because a lot of, I know pastor's kids.
We have.
And that's like sometimes when when it's a Christian family, the family doesn't want anyone to know. And because they see it as a disgrace instead of a testimony of look what God can do.
Which we've had that more than you think.
Yeah.
In people in Christian ministry, it's right here in our, human trafficking is right here. And since COVID, it has increased by, I think, 2,000%.
Oh, my goodness.
The grooming and the recruiting.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we're going to put all of this on our website, so that people can have all of those contacts so they can.
We'll get the website and everything in the show notes.
So yes. That's for you listeners that you will know that all of this will be in the show notes, because this is definitely something that you're going to want to at least pray for, get behind. Again, this is not, in Europe, this is not in Asia. It is, but it's here. Yeah. It's with our youth, and they're going after our youth. And, that the Lord would give us my mom's heart, all of us, that we would see these young women and these young men and say, we want them to know Jesus. Amen. We want them to know the freedom and the love and the glory and, the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
Absolutely.
So we've got like 1 minute, Shannon. So give a shout out to kind of, what you want to say to anyone out there.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Yeah. And I was with law enforcement in a training the other day, and they're like, why do you do that? And I said this, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. I want to be where the Lord is at. And so if you're out there and you're brokenhearted and you are stuck, you're not. God sees you. He's near to you. And here's the thing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. So just know that. And so rise up.
Yes.
And do the radical, because he's calling you.
I love that. And, I think of Hagar, too, in closing, just how Hagar felt so rejected. She wasn't Sarah. She wasn't going to have the promised child. So why did she matter? And when she ran away, God found her and spoke to her. And said, I'm the God who sees you.
Amen.
And I love that. So for those of you out there, we know the God who sees you, and he wants to reveal himself to you as the God who sees. Thank you so much, Shannon,
for joining us.
I knew this would be exciting, and I've wanted you in studio for so long. So this is just an answer to prayer. And thank you, listeners, for listening to us on WWK. We love you all. Even though we haven't seen you, we do love you.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not so well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. If you think there is a woman worth knowing, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at WWK@cccm.com. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. Women Worth Knowing is a production of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.